Hello, everyone. It is a big day here at the Uncanny Curs podcast. We are going back to space, but we have a few things to get through first. I am Lauren, and with me, as always, are Alex and Larry. How are we today, boys?
We're doing pretty good.
I'm almost through Gossip Girl, so I'm doing pretty good. I'm at maximum Dan Hare Gossip Girl, as I said in the pre-recording.
Alex is slowly descending into madness. Got it. That's fantastic. Well, we
this
have
also
a lot
we have associated Gossip Girls to his madness.
Yes. We have a lot to get through today. We are very quickly, like 10 minutes or less, going to talk about issue 106, which is clearly just filler because the art for the Shi'ar Empire portion of the story wasn't done. There's like 700 background characters, a lot of detail, and you know, you can't blame them for why it wasn't done.
We may have to take time to draw space, Wendy.
Yeah, they had to draw a lot of space people, giant monsters. It's great. So let's get started. In issue 106 is Dark Shroud of the Past, and it starts how you would expect it to. Xavier, Misty, and Jean's poor parents are on the roof after the X-Men jumped through the portal into the unknown, which happened last time. Fire Lord has come back demanding a rematch with Phoenix. Misty has her gun, her wonderful, trusty gun. Xavier has another freak out because he just cannot keep it together. And I guess passes out. We're then treated to a flashback at several weeks before the current happenings, issue 96 to be exact, which we talk about in episode 2, The Night Demon, or Why Storm Should Run Things. Anyway, Xavier is having nightmares. Moira ends up giving him a sedative to help him sleep. The X-Men are in the danger room training as usual, just doing their thing, when suddenly the old team shows up and starts fighting them, because reasons. So you got Angel, Iceman, Marvel Girl, aka Jean, and Beast. They're just gotta fight, gotta defeat these people, because who knows? We're then treated to many poorly drawn pages of them fighting. It was...
God, and it's so bad.
It's so bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now, although there is a hilarious like cheerleader kick Wolverine in there that I love.
Yeah.
I've got him right here. He's magical and I love him.
Around page 15 of the issue, we see Xavier, who now remember was in bed in his pajamas. He has now made it to the danger room, put on a suit, and has gotten into the danger room. So yeah, who knows how that happened? There's a lot of things you just don't question here.
And I also don't know why Scott's visor is three times too big for his head and all throughout this book, but it's kind of ridiculous.
Because they gave no shits.
None at all. Yeah. We've got an entire Shi'ar Empire to draw. Who the fuck cares about Scott's
life? Oh my god.
Yeah. So,
like, Banshee's eyes are never going in the same direction in any of these panels. It's so terrible.
Yes. So the old team is there because of Xavier. Xavier, if you'll remember, is having all these nightmares because he's, you know, telepathically seeing who he, you know, found out last issue was Leandra, and he's basically going insane. Between his present madness and the sedative that Moira gave him to help him sleep, it brought out the evil that Xavier has trapped in his mind, because of course he does. And that also
seems safe.
Him, the evil Xavier, bringing out sort of illusions of the old X-Men to destroy the new X-Men.
At all at any point in the future. You crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, just don't think about it too much. This is why we're just going through it quickly. It doesn't make no damn sense. Evil Xavier also is wearing a cape, which is how you know it's evil Charles. And
fabulous.
Yes. Xavier, the not cape wearing one, is able to gain control again and banish the evil part of him back to the recesses of his mind. And with that, Xavier is now at peace, not crazy anymore. I don't know. We have better things to talk about in the next issue. And that's issue 106. Don't think about it.
So I just want to celebrate. I just want to celebrate how Batman and Spider-Man early YouTube this image of Colossus and Wolverine feel. And basically everyone, including Banshee, except for Nightcrawler, because Nightcrawler's face is more shadow and shapes, and it's hard to fuck that up. But like, they all have duck lips in one panel, and it is both terrifying, weird, and hilarious. But that's really, there's lots of duck lipping going on in 106.
All you need to know about 106 is that it happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a comic. It is 110% a comic that exists.
It exists. It exists.
Can't tell you why, but it does.
Yep. Yep. It was clearly drawn overnight with too much caffeine, maybe cocaine.
Although hey, that guys, was a drug. Hey guys, want to get coked up and make a filler issue? I know I do.
Yeah.
So that brings us to 107, right?
Yeah.
And already the cover for this one shows how much more they give a shit.
Yeah. So yeah, that brings us to the real issue for this episode, issue 107. And we got space. We got a million different caped and costume heroes. We got the Star Jammers. We got ancient, weird, unspeakable evil. And we got an emperor who's been corrupted by power. What doesn't this issue have?
I really want to call that ancient evil the Cuddler. Like that app that existed for people to meet up and cuddle from a couple years ago. I don't know if anybody remembers that. I'm a psycho person, so I do.
Okay, then.
I know that's not his name, but I want to call him the Cuddler.
You do that. So the down and dirty synopsis for this issue is the X-Men follow Eric. Oh, and this issue was called, I believe, Going Where No X-Men Has Gone Before, if I didn't mention that. So the X-Men follow Eric the Red and Lilandra through the portal and end up in the Shi'ar capital. I think that's right. They're there.
Yeah.
Lilandra is about to be executed. That's where the unspeakable evil comes in. The X-Men have to fight a whole bunch of people who stand between them and the platform that Lilandra and her brother are standing on. Her brother explains his evil plan, and by God, we find out why this whole mess started.
Finally.
Lilandra explains her brother wanted to open up the gate to the deadliest weapon in the universe, absolute power, and use that power for himself. When she opposed his plan, he had her arrested and set to be executed. She escaped, and that's when she accidentally linked minds with our dear friend, Charles Xavier. She then fled to Earth to try and see the man that she could only see in her mind, because there was this crazy connection. She knew that he would be the only one that could help her, and also their soulmates.
Sure, why not?
Okay, that only confirmed the fact that I'm like, so you mean your brother was like, let me go get this super weapon, and you were like trying to avoid the conversation, so you were on Tinder, you're like, I'll go find this guy from Tinder.
No? What?
You just said they were soulmates, and like, she seems like she's this classic avoidance, is what I'm saying.
No, she escaped execution.
You know, it's more it's more a matter of, it's more weird convenience than anything else. Like, she's still trying to stop her brother, but oh, we just also happen to be soulmates. Okay, that makes sense, I guess.
Like, she didn't go looking for Xavier. She was, like, fleeing through the galaxy.
Oh, okay, so this was, like, an on-the-way deal, not she was, like, specifically going to him. Gotcha.
No. No, she's literally fleeing for her life. Like, she started a civil war.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Hang on.
I know this is true, but I need to ask the question anyway. Do all of these background characters have, like, proper names and backstories? Like, that entire morass of people that, like, for example, Wolverine most likely stabs in the face.
I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to go with no.
You know what? I kind of don't need them to have backstories, because this is exactly the kind of collection of colorful characters. I just want to imagine what their bullshit is. Like,
yeah.
I just want to and just make up my own bullshit for what they're all about. Like the one chick in last week's issue with the cool makeup.
Yeah. So anyway.
Or the Velociraptor dude.
Yeah. So anyway. The X-Men are overwhelmed by the sheer number of the Imperial Guards, all the characters and background characters that we've been talking about. But that's when the Starjammers show up to save the day. And with their help, the X-Men are able to beat back the guard and find a few moments to kind of chill, regroup, hide behind a rock. Jean is suspicious of, is his name Corsar? How do you say that man's name? The leader of the Starjammers.
Corsair or something like that?
We're going to go with Corsair. Sounds good.
He seems like that's how he pronounces it. Like, he pronounced it Corsair, and he also has limited edition records that he keeps in his basement next to his record player, and he really wants to impress you.
Maybe. So Jean is suspicious of him because he looks and sounds awfully American. So she does what any good student of Xavier would do and invades their privacy and scans their mind, where she learns a terrible secret that she does not immediately reveal. Okay, she kind of reveals that it has something to do with Scott, but she doesn't say anything out loud.
And
the gate to ultimate power is opening. So now that it's like a giant crystal that's getting powered up, ultimate power, end of the universe. Will the Emperor get his wish? Will Jean reveal the secret? Will the universe survive? We don't know yet, because we have to wait for issue 108, which will be episode 13, because that's the end of issue 107.
Yeah. So the reason why I asked if all these characters have backstories is because they, like, all these, like, this cast of colorful characters have backstories is because a bunch of them get really specific, quote-unquote, screen time, where they're, like, you're supposed to recognize old Spock over here as a person before Wolverine punches him in the face and takes his clothes. Which I love. I love when he's like, yeah, Harry face over there was really attached to this outfit, but I got it from him. Wearing the guy's costume. Like, as you've seen, being shirtless is a sign of weakness for me. Last time it happened, I was attacked by a demon from a garden ornament.
Yeah. Yeah.
This first splash page is an amazing image.
You're talking about the one with Jean in the middle?
Yeah.
Yes, where it looks like she has butterfly wings.
What'd you say?
I said it looks like she has butterfly wings.
You know what? It's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because later on in the series, when Psylocke makes her appearance, her telepathy manifests as a butterfly. So a lot of times when she's like using telepathy to like on people, you'll see like a butterfly effect over her head. Or if she's like projecting herself somewhere, you'll see that butterfly effect with like eyes and the wings.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But yeah.
And unlike the previous issue, issue 106, which after this, we will never speak of it again. This art is amazing.
Issue 101?
So detailed, so beautiful, so well done.
I love this alien. I love this alien story.
I only have one weird art comment, but we'll get to it when we see like Magneto lined up with like all the other big bad guys, because it looks like they drew all the other really big bad guys really well, but then some whoever got Magneto just cocked it up in some very specific ways. But other than that, this thing is gorgeous. And that is mostly he's got really crooked eyes, not on purpose, it feels like, and he's like not in a great pose. He's in like a Derek Zoolander pose. It's very strange.
Maybe he was an afterthought.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. I'm like, oh, you guys wanted Magneto in here, but you didn't need Magneto in here.
Or they decided they wanted Magneto and the page was already drawn and they're like,
probably, yeah.
We're just going to add him over here quick. It needs to be done in 5 minutes.
And we don't have digital art yet. We don't have Photoshop.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't also, just copy and paste.
Fuck.
Also, there's something else about this art on the first page that I want to mention. I'm going to assume that this was done intentionally, but that, like, if you look behind Jean, the little space scene behind her, there are parts where it looks like there's seams in the art. There'll be a nebula and part of it will be cut off, or green around the one planet and then like that color changes. And the reason why I say I'm gonna assume that this might be done deliberately is because right now they're coming through the portal.
So, yeah, that was my thought too.
Yeah, it's almost like space is folding on itself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are like, you know, traveling through space time and stuff. So coming through a portal, you would expect like the background to be distorted.
Yeah. So it's not like supposed to be an accurate depiction of the cosmos, but it's like, no, it's like multiple bits and pieces of shit just kind of jumbled together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because again, space is something that they draw incredibly well.
Yes.
I want to point out that this panel is full of fabulous hair up top. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, everything in this panel is flawless.
Everybody who has like longer hair than Nightcrawler just gets fabulous shampoo commercial hair.
Yeah.
And Scott's visor fits his face. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
It doesn't look like a flip-flop just pasted on. From that issue that we'll never speak of again.
Well, no, issue what?
Exactly.
So I have one other pet peeve about this issue. At some point, are they intentionally fucking up the drawings of Eric the Red? Because every panel he's in,
shit about him.
He just looks doofy.
He's probably one of those characters that nobody gives a shit about and nobody has fun drawing, but he's part of the story, so it's like, yeah, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And every time I see him, I'm like, dude, like your head is like the size of a head and a half. What's happening? And then we get, go ahead, Larry.
Oh, well, I was going to say, moving on to the next page.
Yeah, that's probably good.
We get a two-page spread. What is this bullshit that just popped up on my screen? We get a two-page spread that, again, just shows off more amazingness. We get to see more of the Shi'ar characters. And the immense Macron, however you want to pronounce it, crystal in the background.
Crystal of ultimate power.
Of ultimate power.
but only when the planets align into a cross.
Yes.
I feel like the crystal of ultimate power is something from like that Netflix She-Ra show that got cut. I don't know why. I forget what that show's called. It's called like, oh, She-Ra and the Princess of Power. That's probably why I feel that way. She-Ra and the
Princess of Power, yes.
Yeah. I just feel like this is like a thing that they were going to put in and didn't because they're like, oh, fuck. That's how we know this. That old X-Men comic, the one, the good one after the one that sucked.
Also, I don't know. It always just tickles me whenever you
Princess
have...
of Power is a He-Man character. I mean, she had her own show came from He-Man.
No, but they redeveloped it as a, like, and you're going to hate this instantly, Rebecca Sugar-esque cartoon. Shut up.
The show is actually very good.
They're like, hey, oh, what I was going to say before, though, is I always love it in fiction where, like, characters from Earth go to, like, an alien planet or dimension or whatever, and they get acknowledged as the aliens. It's like, yes, oh, yeah, they technically are, so.
I very much appreciated that one character yelling, aliens! Yes.
When they show up, he's like, aliens!
It's like, oh, God.
Oh, shit. You know what I appreciate? On page 4, when they're like, we may need to fight. And like, everyone except for Scott is like, God, we should really take, we don't know where we are.
Yeah, we should like take a few minutes.
And we should take a few minutes. And Scott just cold cocks this one dude straight in the head. Just like, and they're like, oh, fuck, that one fires lasers. This might be bad.
Yeah. Even Wolverine is like, yeah. You know, maybe we should like take 5 minutes, figure out what's going on.
I'm gonna punch them.
Talk to these people. Oh no. Oh, okay.
I'm gonna yes, punch we're them fighting. Eyes.
God damn it, Scott. I hate you so much.
Oh, motherfucker. And which is hilarious later when it becomes clear that if any of the X-Men are going to without a doubt live through this, it's the one who they can roast like a marshmallow and he just looks at them like, really? I just got this shirt. I'm gonna have to take yours. Shink!
And then I love this caption at the bottom where it says, it begins, and in moments, a once tranquil plane is turned into a scene out of hell.
Yeah, there's just explosions and fire.
Everything is fire.
Storms like say, Banshee, get in the air, it's safer.
I'm going to say that before the X-Men popped into existence, this may have been something resembling tranquil, but as soon as a bunch of spandex-laden weirdos came out of a space portal, it became pretty loaded and anxious but immediately.
And also
wouldn't use tranquil to describe what was happening either.
Public execution.
Giant crystal that's waiting for like cosmic power to be shot into it. They're about to execute the princess / like used to be captain of the Imperial Navy. Like,
this is true.
And like everyone's once again, probably on edge. As is typical throughout this story, shit is popping off. All the X-Men are doing their shit. This would be a really nice time to have the big gun. And Jean is like, oh, it's too much. I just can't.
I will give her a pass on this one. Only because she did just power up a cosmic gate.
A whole cosmic gate. But get used to this. It's kind of an ongoing thing.
Yes. Yes. But this one time and later in I can't remember if it's next issue or the one after it. She does not get a pass in that situation. And I just want to punch her in the face for being a weak ass bitch. But in this particular panel, she gets a pass.
Oh, now, another thing about that I want to point out is that This actually is kind of a setup for one of the... What are you showing us?
The dude just grinning like a psychopath.
Oh.
In the corner here.
Oh, that guy.
I thought you were trying to like show us the Wolfman guy. Like, what?
Yeah, the Wolfman guy. He's like... He's like, oh, we kill each other? I'm down.
It's fine. I think he's the one that loses his shirt, so he loses all his clothes.
Oh, yeah, he totally is. He's the one who, like, immediately gets cold-cocked by Wolverine, and, like, Wolverine's just like, nice clothes. Whoop. Yeah. Whoop. Which I really want him to wake up in Wolverine's shredded costume and Wolverine pants, like, what? What happened? Go ahead, Larry.
Well, what I was gonna say about Jean is that this, believe it or not, is actually kind of a setup for one of the most iconic events surrounding the Phoenix, or more specifically Dark Phoenix, because in that story, there's another scene where she like tears through space, opens up a portal, she's just trying to get the fuck away from Earth. And once again, it drains her. But this time, she doesn't give any part of a fuck. And she's like, you know what? I could go on being a weak-ass bitch like I did, like, a few years ago. Or I could totally just snack on that star. I might obliterate a solar system and kill a few billion people, but, you know, sacrifices. So, yeah.
Well, bitch, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, you know?
I mean, you know, normal people just, like, go eat a Snickers, but...
No.
Whatever. You know, star in a solar system, Snickers. Maybe the Phoenix is allergic to peanuts. We don't know.
Hey, you know what? You know, and we're going to respect her peanut allergy.
Yeah, she because that is very deadly.
Look, if I learned anything growing up as a millennial, you gotta bring snacks for everybody. And if one kid is allergic to peanuts, you gotta bring him like a spaghetti cup or something. Feels included.
And like, honestly, yeah. they were part of the Shi'ar. No one told them they had to stay on that particular planet. They had a whole empire that could have evacuated.
Yeah.
Oh God. Anyway, so yeah, shit's popping off. This dude turns into a whatever the fuck that is at the bottom of the page.
A Barakin? It's Shovel probably Beast. Barakin. I'm gonna go with Barakin Shovel Beast. I don't know, but I kind of love it.
And in case anyone in the chat is wondering as to its name, it literally has the mandible. A mandible that just looks like a giant shovel.
Giant shovel.
Probably contributes to its name.
And I like how Nightcrawler's just like, oh God, anyone have a shadow I can go hide in?
Now you remember.
Yeah.
Now he remembers he can do that.
Yeah, and Cinnamon Bun Colossus is like, I got you, fam. Go take cover.
I kind of love Nightcrawler's reactions to everything, because there'll be so many times where I feel like he's me, where like something will just happen and he's like, what the fuck? like everyone else just kind of goes into fight mode and he's like, listen, am I the only one who just saw this dude turn into a fucking shovel beast? What the fuck is a shovel beast? Are you looking at the same shit I'm looking at? Like...
Excuse me, I'm not wearing my brown pants. I need to go. And then, so like, you know when like you like see the enemy combatants and they're checking on every platoon? I imagine that's how this goes. And so like, dude with the mohawk checks on the other platoon. He's like, how's it going with that weird dude with the weird costume and the claws? And somebody just like, it's not going great, boss. They cut to him and he's just like being completely flambéed by some dude. And he's just like, motherfucker, that was my favorite shirt. Come here, bitch. It's time for you two to share an air hug.
What?
And then, like, Beast Lord or whoever that guy is like, okay, I guess it's my turn to kick your ass. He's like, oh, I just so happen to be in the market for some new clothes. And what are you wearing? Clothes. Knuckle crack, punch. Really phenomenal.
But you skipped over Nightcrawler using his magic watch to also turn into a shovel beast.
That's what that panel was? I thought the shovel people the two-headed thing. But the
play is like, Alex. Oh my god.
Oh, he uses his, I'm assuming his watch thingy?
Yeah.
Image inducer. It's not a watch.
It's like hologram projector, yeah.
So now here's the thing that I thought was interesting when I read this is I kind of feel like because it wouldn't be for quite some time that they make the revelation that, you know, he is Mystique's son or that they would even introduce her to the comics. But I kind of feel like already they're like drawing connection between that because he does in these books like use that thing quite a bit, either not even just to blend in. But as we see here, he uses it strategically, and he turns into an even bigger version of the Shovel Beast. And the guy who turned into the first Shovel Beast is like, nope,
And then you got poor Colossus down in the corner. He's like, Lenin's ghost.
Yeah,
there's two of them.
That's another great line, Lenin's ghost.
I like the idea that Colossus's like first and only pop culture history is from like the day before John Lennon died, and he was like, so that's the only thing he can pull from ever.
No, I'm pretty sure he's talking about the Russian Lennon because he's Russian.
I would assume so.
Oh yeah, that's true. Well, no, this is like the 70s. When did John Lennon die?
I have no idea.
I could not tell you the year, but Russian Lennon, whose first name escapes me, died in what the...
To be clear, he is just Russian Lennon now. I may find his name out. I'll be like, oh. Lennon. They're British.
Also, I don't think that's how you spell John Lennon's last name.
Moving on.
Nightcrawler punches out the chain point dude. Nightcrawler punches out the shapeshifter. And we finally get to the scene that Alex has been so anxiously wanting to talk about.
I deeply love this scene because, like, so the way this fight scene has been going, just for the listener, is like it's groups of the X-Men versus like the one shape-shifting dude or an equivalent group of like the Shi'ar soldiers. But then you get to like this corner of the battlefield where it's just Wolverine losing his shit on like 10 people at a time, and I just love that. Like this our second Human Torch clone of the series shows up and tries to flambé Wolverine, and Wolverine just like, really? Really?
He's more annoyed than anything.
Yeah, he's like, excuse you? I think you lost this. Picks up another a lady and throws him at him.
Yeah, so a side note, John Lennon, the music writer and Beatle man, Died in 1980.
Well, so there we are. I'm pretty sure Colossus was referencing Russian Lenin then.
Whose name I also really need to look up now. Because why can't I remember that man's name?
Clearly, his name is Russian Lenin.
Vladimir.
Vladimir.
Well, to be fair,
died in 1924.
To be fair, that's a pretty easy, like, because Vladimir Putin is already a problem and here right now. So he's not the first Vladimir who would come to your mind.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but moving on to the story. Yeah, Wolverine's like, shit, my shirt. And sees the Beast dude.
And pants.
And literally says,
his underwear.
It literally says, you, fur face. Yeah, I'm talking to you, bub.
Human mannequin says, what? Punching face.
Pretty much. Because, he just punches him in the face and then it just cuts away.
And then the next time you see Wolverine, he's just wearing that dude's costume.
He's just wearing that man's costume. It's like Hitman, where you knock a man out and steal his clothes.
That is totally true.
Except perhaps Wolverine put the remnants of his costume in a little drawstring bag, and it's just on the battlefield.
Just Larry, have you seen any of Hitman?
Here and there.
Well, just know that that's a thing that happens.
It's supposed to be a stealthy game where, like, you sneak around to assassinate.
Well, I know Hitman is.
But the thing you might not know is it's super stealthy. The only thing that breaks the illusion is you leave these little Apple merchandise backpacks of your clothes and disguises strewn about the level, so like they won't notice them. They'll just be like walking by, and there'll be like nine little knapsacks of fucking clothes.
That's not all.
And they're just laundry hampers full of naked people. With two fit in a hamper, so that's the thing.
Yeah. The spirit drinker is actually a pretty crazy looking design here.
Okay, so yeah, I want to before we get to I want to make a terrible joke about the spirit drinker, but I'll move on. But before we get to that, I misread the bubbling in this top panel, and I thought that Space Greg was her father, not her brother, because I thought the person they were calling her brother was the alien dude. And I went like, motherfucker, he's probably adopted.
No.
Because he's not the same thing as you guys are. And I don't think that's how reproduction works.
No. No, that's just a henchman.
Okay. I would just like, found family maybe? I don't know. And like I said, they're not very happy about drawing Eric the Red ever.
I mean, I think this might be the last time we see him. I don't remember if he's in any other panels. He might be in like one more.
Oh yeah. I think you're right, actually, Lauren. And then we have the spirit drinker.
Yes.
Does it bother anybody else that Lalandra is just like this pathetic, helpless woman?
You know what? I was actually thinking about that. It's like I don't remember her being quite this
I'm
bad.
Bothered.
She was, you know, she had to be saved in the show. But
yeah.
It here, like the way they play it up here is like really bad.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna say, if I was captured by a celestial superpower and introduced to even the concept of the spirit drinker.
Yeah, but I mean, she already knew what it was. It's a part of their culture.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
God damn it, Alex.
you know what? I've read the issue. Leave me alone.
Bullshit.
I may have fucked up the bubbling in this particular panel so much so that I read the panel where they talk about something worse than death as not only do you face death, but I imagine that, but now you'll get the new and improved worse death, the spirit drink.
No. It's actually a soul drinker, not the spirit drinker. Just letting you guys know.
What'd you say?
I said it's called the soul drinker, not the spirit drinker. Just letting you guys know.
Look, I'm on a very strict diet. I only drink human souls in this one specific city in Korea.
Okay. So Nightcrawler comes in to save the day. Because, you know, Jean is still recovering.
She's trying.
She does try. That's why, like, she gets a pass this time.
But only this time.
Only this time. Probably never again.
She does have very strong, I thought I told you, let me nap, Scott, energy. In trying realm. Like, one fails, she's like, you fucking woke me up again. God damn it, Scott. I've been working all day.
That is true. I mean, what has Scott done?
I mean, just started a whole intergalactic war, but you know.
In fact, it seems to me that in this case, if Scott had maybe used words like a big boy instead of laser punching some asshole, they could have negotiated this away. They could have been like, listen, you're gonna kill her anyway. How about you just give her to us? We'll take her home. We can have somebody else for Xavier to groom.
Oh, God.
And she'll be out of your hair. We'll just go on our way. Or you can face the hairy rage monster we call, for polite society reasons, Wolverine. Which, as they've now found out, did not go particularly well for them. Especially Flame Face. Which, that's just that guy's name now.
So we got Nightcrawler saving the princess.
By the way, how strong is Nightcrawler anyway? Because I feel like him just pulling and breaking metal bonds is a near regular occurrence.
I know, right? I don't know.
I think he punches people really hard too. And he's like Colossus level fucking strong. I think it's the thing we came up with.
Apparently.
Which is. But yeah, so I'm gonna go out on a limb and say the soul drinker, maybe the soul drinker, which is the right thing to say there, is probably not a great move because it doesn't seem very controllable because this one underling just has a really bad day.
Yeah, he dies.
It seems like the soul drinker is maybe more of a grenade scenario than a aimed specific targeted weapon scenario. I think if you're going to put one specific person to death and have a whole bunch of people close to them, you don't want to use the grenade. Because I would also tend to wonder, what happens once the soul drinker is done with the one body? What if he's still hungry? What if the soul drinker thirst lingers?
I don't know. I think it just goes. I mean, in this case, I think it just goes away. I don't think we see it again.
Well, you know, it's on a diet. It's on a diet. It's just like one soul, and then it's like, hey, I'm good. I'm watching my calories. I'm gonna go. You know.
Oh, what? I know this is insane. But what if the soul drinker was a vegan and he just like shows up? He's like. Wait a minute. Has she eaten meat in the past 24 hours? And like Lalandra is saved because she had a Burger King burger. I'll come back tomorrow. Like that one roommate who I had who was a vegan whose favorite candy was candy corn, which is made out of animal bones.
Oh, that's lovely. At the bottom of the page here, Scott is just like had it with all this bullshit, and he's like, Lalandra, what the fuck?
Yeah, so what we didn't mention is Nightcrawler teleports them both out of the way of the Soul Drinker, which I don't think he's teleported with a person before, but I could be misremembering. I don't know.
And the robot squid guy super dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is less of a less of like a drinking scenario, more of a disembodiment disintegration scenario when they talk about
drinking. Like, that's what I'm gonna say. Like, he just dematerializes. I would actually like to see this play out in a movie, but he just like is deatomized and sucked up into the Soul Drinker.
Why haven't we gotten a Shi'ar Empire in the movies?
Can I ask a very specific question?
Weird knockoff aliens.
Is the Soul Drinker concept close enough to the Shadow King Smoke Man concept that we're to understand?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about now.
So like the Shadow King is like this like spooky smoke guy who really let his family down because he clearly didn't reach his full potential because his cousin, the Soul Drinker, is running around just like ending people's existence, and he just got this small business involving street urchins in Africa. I feel like I just want to reiterate that when things like the Shadow King come into play, it's never like, if you remind you, the Shadow King was a failure. And the worst thing, the most successful thing he ever did was take over Storm Sun for like an afternoon or something.
I don't even think he exists yet, so.
Oh, he does? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think Storm's backstory has been retconned to that level yet, where it's the
Shadow King. He technically exists, but they haven't had to, like, write themselves out of that corner yet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, currently her backstory is just a dude had a bunch of street urchins, but he was not the Shadow King. He was just...
Okay. Gotcha.
But also, with regard to comparing Shadow King to this thing, Shadow King is a telepath who, to my knowledge, does not really have a physical form. He just kind of embodies different people and like takes them over and shit. This guy, from what I'm seeing on this panel, just sticks you with his tongue and dematerializes you and sucks you up into his being. So,
there's that. Like, it's just the soul. The thing that the Soul Drinker reminds me of the most is the depiction of the Shadow King from the 90s cartoon. And now there's like a giant metal samurai. What's happening?
What?
On this, in the last panel on the page. I think this is a flashback. Yeah, no, this is where Lalandra's telling her story.
Okay, that's where Lalandra starts to tell her story, because
All
of a sudden
I wanted the power for himself and whatnot.
Her brother is Captain Morganing a coffee table and pointing at a giant mech, because you know.
Yeah, that's when she opposes his crazy ass plan and he has her arrested. Mm-hmm. And then the Civil War breaks out. And then they unfortunately lose. And then she is captured and she's set to be executed. And that's when she escapes and just starts jumping through the galaxy.
I love on page 11, the like last panel on the left. I love Xavier's face because he looks massively psychotic.
He just
looks
like, he does.
He's just like, yeah.
He does. And this is also where she explains that as she's like jumping through galaxies, you know, just trying to like escape. What did she say? Oh, in my mind, I saw a face. It was as if I'd found a missing piece of my soul, my inner self. In that instant, I was bound to Charles Xavier and he to me. So
another thing I want to bring up is that is actually essentially what happened to Jean, because it hasn't really been explained yet as of this point. But later on in the comics, when they like retcon the fuck out of everything, when Jean was dying, when she was like piloting the ship back to Earth some issues back, and she was dying from all the radiation poisoning, she like subconsciously let out this telepathic scream, and the Phoenix heard her, and like that's what got its attention and brought it to her, and you know, well. Find out more about how they bonded together, but it's very similar to what happened here with Lilandra and Xavier, where she just kind of called out and he responded. That's basically what happened with Jean and Phoenix.
I mean, with Jean and the Phoenix, that totally makes sense. I mean, she does have like, I mean, she's like an Omega level mutant, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's in this horrible distress and, you know, like you said, lets out like some psychic cry. And then this other cosmic being's like, ooh, what's this?
Oh, that's something you'll hear every day. We should probably check that out.
I like the cut of her jib. Now I must possess her.
Oh, look at you, sweetie. You've got a whole body for me to use.
Yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
This won't end terribly for both of us.
Yeah, really, when I say it like that, sounds like the creepiest thing someone could say. You've got a whole nice body. Don't mind if I do.
Actually, it's really cool because in certain versions of the story, when Phoenix does come to Jean, she doesn't even, because usually when you see Phoenix, it's the big firebird effect. But in this scene, she actually basically just looks like a silhouette of Jean, but she's like made of light and fire.
Oh, cool. That's actually really neat.
Yeah. But we'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we come to page 12.
Yeah, and there's the Magneto you were talking about.
Yeah, that is... So looking at this panel again,
he is
again,
very oddly drawn compared to everyone else.
Like, look at it. Oh my god, I zoomed in on it. Look at his eyes.
Yeah, they were clearly like, shit, Magneto was in the story. Fuck.
Like, this whole panel seems like all of these characters were drawn at separate points, and someone went in with like an X-Acto knife and very carefully. Because, like, you look at Magneto, and there's very little, like, holes in, like, his person. Like, they made sure there was a cape by where his elbow goes like this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, you motherfuckers. You, like, this was, like, the last panel of the day. There are definitely some fucked up, like, comics, like... They had to do a lot of repair work. Like, they're going through the old comic book page. They're like, why is Magneto cut out of this? Gary, get over here!
Well, you know what? As I said before, they didn't have Photoshop, so they may have actually done the X-Acto knife thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, we don't have time to redraw this.
And the other thing I know...
Paste him on top.
The other thing I know from old, like, just, like, remastering of stuff, is, like, the closer you get to the 60s, the less likely you are to have any kind of master copy of anything, either at all or in any kind of good shape. Like, I think friggin' the old prints of the Charlie Brown movie, you like see coffee stains on them because they were just on somebody's desk year round or some horse shit. It's just like, so I can totally imagine, like, it's just one comic book where, like, Magneto had to be redrawn because he was cut out and put in a different comic.
Now, here's something pretty interesting. I like how, because the flashback panels are depicted with these rounded edges.
Yes.
The second panel on page 12, it's like in the panel itself, it's transitioning from her telling the story about Fire Lord and then going back to the present with her talking to Scott. And if you look on the left side, the panel has the rounded edges.
Yep.
But on the right, it has the corners, the sharp corners.
Yeah.
And the next panel that is, back in the present and it has the sharp corners. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's such a neat little detail that they actually took the time to do something like that to really make it different.
Yeah. To like slowly bring you into the back into the present. And speaking of that third panel, here's where we see the stars in the alliance of that cross that Lauren mentioned earlier.
Yep. So
and a very
a great
that can't Macron, be good.
Macron? Are we saying Macron? Is that how we're deciding to say this?
I've heard it pronounced Macron in Mcron, so whichever you prefer.
I like Mcron. That sounds fun. The Mcron crystal,
but whatever,
is a gateway to the power my brother seeks. A gate that opens once every million years. When those nine Death Stars align in a certain alignment, which is literally happening as she's speaking.
Now, I will just interject one thing. Mcron crystal sounds like something that will get you high as fuck. That
yeah,
put you up.
Man, I gotta get my hands on some of that good Mcron.
You got any Mcron crystal, my
Oh, yeah, man, I got your big data M1G for one hit.
Oh my god.
I am really so just this, a well-meaning drug dealer. It's fine.
In this bottom panel, we have my favorite background person, this like bat lady.
Oh, huh?
I love her.
That's just Space Raven from Teen Titans.
She does look
I like see no problem with this. And
your and, point
and also we see freaking Gladiator, who he's a cool character, but he is both literally and figuratively such a tool, because he's like, his whole deal is that he is blindly loyal to the Empire. He has no morals of his own whatsoever.
No.
If the Emperor is a dick, he's going to be a dick. If the Emperor is cool, he's going to be cool. Like, he's literally just a tool of the Empire.
Yeah, like, once at the Emperor Deken, like, opens this crystal and this gate and unleashes this power, like, you're all dead. The entire universe is destroyed. Like, Gladiator's like over here, fact. Like, yeah, also, well, the Emperor wants it, so the Emperor gets it. Motherfucker!
Yeah. Also, like, Minor spoiler here. So if you don't want to hear this a little bit, just be aware. But later on, like, the Emperor does in fact go into the crystal and essentially is not a person anymore. So Lalandra takes over and she's recognized as the Empress. And he immediately flips and is like, okay, now what, Empress? You just had me in prison 2 seconds ago, bitch.
Like I should have you imprisoned.
Really? I should have you. Wait, get that soul drink out here. Like.
So the Gladiator guy is kind of why I asked if all these people have super, like, super deep backstories, because he looks like that fucking beautiful fucking mohawk they got. That is just like, what if we took this weird curved trapezoid and stuck it to this man, to the purple man's head?
It is a meticulously drawn mohawk.
And like that, and like his like weird cape with like the with the pop collar, which just cements his dad as a douchebag supreme. And he got his own emblem. I was like, this was like a first appearance where they were intending to give him his own comic somehow. I feel it. I feel it in my nerve bones. But no such luck or disluck. And also, if any of the three of them get the comic, it is definitely Bat Lady and Bat. It is definitely Space Raven and the first draft of that Manta Ray guy from Justice League.
Oh yeah,
in the background here, like that is definitely Black Manta from the Justice League cartoon. But like the first time they drew him.
And now we have back to Alex's favorite thing, Wolverine.
Favorite weird storyline?
What? No, Wolverine in stolen outfits.
It is incredibly convenient that he just happened to steal the clothes of someone who kind of fits his motif.
Right?
Look. It's
funny how that works out.
There's a hairy, weird, angry asshole in every single group, Larry. For this one, it's me. For them, it's Wolverine. For the Shira Empire, it was definitely Beast Tamer or wherever he is. Like, he was definitely like the guy who was never happy, ever. And no one ever wanted to work with him. They just did because their boss said they had to.
And Banshee is thinking, I'll never get to tell Moira how much I love her.
Nope. Nope. I mean, spoilers, he does, but
but he doesn't know that yet.
As we are right now in this issue.
I'm just gonna put this out here. Banshee could probably do better than not even dancing on the line, fucking on the wrong side of the line, actively spitting on it, war criminal Moira.
Yeah.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
The heart does want what the heart wants.
He can't help that he loves a scientist war criminal.
who at first blush is like, oh, I may have enslaved this man and made him work for me, but it's so much work. Because that is not the only copy of that man out there in the world.
Okay.
Another version of that man married and happy with kids. And what if those thoughts can jump from person to person?
Okay, so I'm looking at page 14. There's several things I want to point out here. One, it looks as though somebody looked at the drawing of Scott in the previous issue and said, you know what? That oversized visor, we've got something there. And they made their own oversized visor version of Scott for the Shi'ar.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening in this top panel with his head.
And then him and Scott get into an eye laser fight and shoot each other dead on and knock each other the fuck out.
Kind of amazing. It's like in Yu-Gi-Oh! When Pegasus and Bakura have to fight.
Yeah.
But it's literally just lasers coming out of the Millennium items.
Just hit each other with lasers.
It's the most ridiculous thing.
I'm thinking it's kind of like, because I, you know, they obviously, if you're looking at this, they didn't actually hit each other with the beam.
No.
But I'm thinking it's like if you and someone else were to throw a punch and you like hit each other's fists really hard, and it's just like, oh shit. You know?
Yeah, you're gonna get that like backwards force.
Yeah. It's the like the backwards force like knocked them both the fuck out.
Or maybe a more insane thing would be if two people had grenades and they threw the grenade and the grenade hit each other.
What is with you and grenades?
I don't know. Grenades. my main point is grenades are never a great idea. Like if like your answer to something is a grenade, you've already fucked up.
Yeah,
And to think once I could have cared for you.
Yeah.
Gladiator is saying to Lilandra.
Gladiator is such a jerk.
And
also, Lilandra points out that the absolute power thing is called the end of all that is.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't fuck around with something called the end of all that is. Just saying.
Yeah, hey guy, I know that you really commit. So what if the reason Gladiator is like this is it's a toxic work environment in the way that toxic work environments exist between boomers and millennials, and just her brother has been saying like, Gladiator, I hope you know, we're like family here, and family takes care of each other. And like just enough times of that, he's just been brainwashed into thinking that like he's doing his best for the company, and so he's doing the best for his family.
You're not wrong. That's kind of
I'm just like
that's
because
a Gladiator is, you know.
That's just like, dude, like I know your bonus is coming up soon, but you're definitely henching for the wrong dude.
The thing is, Gladiator strikes me as one of those dudes. He doesn't even get paid, and he like has no desire to be like.
Oh, he got stock options instead of a salary.
He's like that ingrained into the bullshit. It's like, no, I you know, glory so of the Empire or whatever.
Is that I think what we're saying here is that Gladiator is just a Silicon Valley underling who is definitely going to get his payday one day. They're not going to screw me over this time now that I'm working at Twitter instead of Facebook. When I worked at Google before, I've got all these stock options and they're going to pay out one day. Only, you know, he never cashes them in because company loyalty. And now the arrival of the Star Jammers.
I love the Star Jammers so much. I love each and every one of these characters. The green guy has a little cat creature. Yeah. I love them.
What? Is that Squirrel Girl?
No,
she's a cat.
Okay. Oh, she's a cat? Okay. I wasn't sure because I know some depictions of Squirrel Girl. She's actually like a squirrel person.
No.
She says her people are feline.
But no, who cares about that? Okay. The thing my eye is drawn to is the giant muscular lizard man with the weird thing just calmly sitting on his shoulder.
Yes.
That
I love it.
Everything.
I love it.
That space cat needs to be in a movie.
I love them so much. I don't care about the other space triad guys that was in the movie.
You're right. Let's just get the space
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Please.
I don't care about them. Where's my Space Jammers movie?
Where are the Star Jammers? Like, can we please?
What I would love to see in a Star Jammers movie, not like an action scene, I want to see them sit down to breakfast on the ship. Like, just like big lizard dude walking over with a big old stack of waffles with his little cat friend, just like, morning.
Dink. You got like this weird little dude with this sword who like only eats half a grapefruit and black coffee.
And if anyone listening to this who is not aware of who these characters are thinks Star Jammer sounds like an 80s rock band, yes. Just yes. That is exactly
what. But also with like a swashbuckling bend. Because fucking alpha male supreme here definitely was like, I'm gonna grow up and I'm gonna be a space pirate, and by god damn he did it.
Yeah, he's definitely, because there is definitely,
yeah, he doesn't grow up and think that, but you know, it's nice to dream.
He's definitely feeling himself nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just have to embrace the role that you've been given.
And his space guns are, his space guns are basically hair dryers, but it's fine.
Gold. So they're like the,
that dude doesn't
like those old curved pistols from the Pirates of the Caribbean era, where they're like, but they're also laser guns, so, you know, more effective. Yeah, I just kind of love everything about this panel.
It's a good
one. And also, I want to know, and just forgive me for this, just because I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, and also this is the way, like, the stuff in Guardians of the Galaxy is the way most of those kinds of stories go. So I want to know who the cat lady is sleeping with out of these three lovely gentlemen. My money. No, my money's on Lizard Dude. My money is on Lizard Dude.
I was gonna say Lizard Dude as well.
Like they're sitting next to each other, and like everybody like knows like we don't fuck with them. And also because Fantastic Four is a thing, so that also works out that way.
Also, speaking of Lizard Man, I just love this interaction on the third panel of page 16 where he's like, by the by, my name is Chad. My companions and I are the Starjammers. We are heroes.
I love him.
And Colossus is just like, I'm Colossus, Chad. My companions and I are the X-Men. I am pleased to know you. Like, this is just, I mean.
They're such cinnamon buns.
That is just also, the entire issue for me.
Is this pink bird on his shoulder a different animal?
I don't know. I think it's I don't.
That's definitely a pink bird, and the first thing definitely a white cat. Is there like a shape shifting animal happening here, or is it like
I don't know,
just like a friend of space animal in a way?
He just comes in. Right? You know what? I'm fine with either explanation.
I am too. Our team just forgot.
That could be too. Like they drew it like
probably later, but like
they were like, oh right, he had an animal. I'm a draw bird today. I don't like cats.
This panel happened a week. This panel happened a week later, and one artist called the other. He's like, man, I can't remember what you put on his shirt on his shoulder last time. You got the page, and the guy's too hungover. He's like, pink bird.
Oh god, but the interaction between him and Colossus is just everything for me.
I think it does change because on the next page it's now something else. I don't know what it is though.
Oh yeah, now it looks like
type
of rodent.
Well, no, because that's, I know this is really specific, but we love this dude, so, like, I think that's the same animal as the previous page, which is closer to it.
Maybe, that could be.
And now Nightcrawler's getting in on it. He's like, your pet shot, it's very neat. And he's like, you know, you're not so bad yourself, human.
Also, in the panel above that, I just want to point out the cat girls. Luscious, amazing tail.
Yes.
Yeah, the tail is real good.
Why is there not a Starjammers comic? I just
don't know.
Why?
Why is there not a Starjammers
comic? Hold on.
Why do we know
there fucking must be a Starjammers comic. Give me 2 seconds. And I mostly say that because if you look at the beginning, at the cover of the comic book, they say at the bottom, beginning Starjammers saga or whatever, so I bet there is one. But yeah, hold on.
Oh, and here's where Jean mind rapes Corsair.
Yes, yep, she's like, huh, I don't trust you, better scan his mind. Like, what?
I'm rude. Sorry, what?
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. That's not okay.
And, there is totally a what? There is totally a Star Jammers comic.
What? Send that immediately to me. Is there like a lot of it? Is it a whole series?
I just looked it up, and it seems like there's a bunch of runs of it. So, but there's enough of it where there's like multiple covers, a bunch of runs. There's like also, and it seems like it's always the same. Here's a closer version of Cat Lady. It's probably a little older, drawn by a different artist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more like 80s, 90s style.
The day I found a new addiction.
What?
It seems like there's a not insignificant amount of Star Jammers. This is definitely a... I will say, lots of them look like Ben Stiller. Lots of Corsair look like Ben Stiller from the movie Dodgeball.
Wow.
So this is major spoiler, which I think we talked about last time anyway, how Corsair is Cyclops' father. That is only a thing because Dave Cockrum, who came up with the Star Jammers, this is from Wikipedia. In order to provide a plausible excuse for the Star Jammers to make repeat appearances in X-Men, they decided to make Corsair, the leader of the Star Jammers, be the father of Cyclops.
We got
to look, man. The Star Jammers are too good to be a one-time thing. But yeah, here's another. This is definitely a I don't think they're all attached to the X-Men, but this particular one is. But, like, that's the one where he looks like Ben Stiller from Dodgeball.
Well, if we don't hear from Lauren for the next few days, we know why.
All right, anyway, focus. Focus.
Okay.
Focus. We're almost done. I need to go read all of the Star Jammers that I can find. I love them so much.
She needs to inject Star Jammers into her veins.
But what if you read the Star Jammers and just the comics are just dog shit?
Then I will be awful. Sad. But not surprised.
I don't think they will be, though.
Also, when you read them, you need to tell me if we're right and that Cat Lady and Lizard Man just have sweet, sweet alien love all the time.
I will let you know.
Thank you.
But anyway, the Emperor's...
So, the Emperor's here. Ultimate Power is happening. He's all like, my gateway is opening. Look at me, I have to yell.
Yeah, he's cooking his Emcon crystal, so he's about to get real fucked up soon.
I just keep imagining this with Greg, too, which makes it worse.
And so the planets align, send this crazy beam of energy into the Emcron crystal and basically power it up. And it starts just like pulsing out energy that is going to slowly destroy the universe.
Which seems about right. Go ahead, Larry.
This does lead to something that comes into play in another X-Men story. And if I remember it next time we meet, which hopefully I will, I'll bring it up then and mention how it all ties in. But this does come, what is about to happen does come into play again later.
Yeah, and this issue kind of closes out with Star Corps, that Dr. Corbeau guy that we saw several issues ago, who did stuff. Base. I don't remember.
Who also hung out on a boat with
Yeah. Yeah, and he's the one that got all the X-Men, got all the X-Men to Dr. Lang's space station, and you know, is a little bit the cause of this.
Yeah. Also, here he says,
just a teensy bit.
Well, not this part, but as far as like Jean getting like the Phoenix and stuff, because if we remember, he crashes the shuttle into the space station, which destroys half the shuttle, and then that's why Jean has to use her powers to shield it because all the shields are gone.
Yeah. He's gonna have some culpability. Like, his name is gonna be on the list of responsible in the lawsuit that will happen when people finally believe that one employee at Kennedy Airport.
Yeah.
Also, he shit starts going crazy on his ship. He contacts Reed Richards and tells him that for a fraction of a second we cease to exist.
Yeah. Yeah, and if it keeps happening, because there are these blinks, and if they keep happening, the universe and space is going, or I'm sorry, time and space will tear itself apart. The universe as we know it will die.
Yep.
No pressure, X-Men. No pressure.
No pressure at all.
But we're going to need you to get started on this whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to need you to
get started. It seems like the X-Men get treated like shit, but also are given like the stuff that everybody's like, but like the Avengers are like, nah, man, we don't get paid to clean up this kind of shit anymore. We're just
That's the thing. In both this story and Dark Phoenix, they actually... See, this is the thing about comics. It's like, on the one hand, you have stories like this, which, if they're X-Men titles, you know, the X-Men should be the ones to deal with it. But because they're in a shared universe with other characters, the obvious question is like, well, why didn't the Avengers help? Why didn't this one help? Why didn't it... So, but what they do in both this story and Dark Phoenix later on is they actually do explain why the Avengers can't get involved. It's not the greatest explanation, but there's an explanation.
At least it's not like DC, when the answer should always be, why isn't Superman here?
Yeah.
Dealing with this shit.
But here, but yeah, it's like the Avengers may or may not have gotten the email in time, but you know.
Yeah, because this is definitely a time sensitive thing and it's not still going on when Tony checks his email box in the middle of the day.
Look, maybe their internet was down or something, you know.
I mean, all of reality stopped existing for a fraction of a second. Yeah. You know what that does to servers?
What, yeah. But what if the tale is that the internet goes? What if they're all like hanging out watching Netflix and all of a sudden Tony's like, Jarvis, why is it? And Jarvis like kind of automated like, I am no longer connected to the internet, sir. And then all of a sudden, it's Wednesday now. And I think that brings us to a end.
It does. It does. Do we have anything else? Do we have anything else that we want to add?
No, I am looking forward to future issues, though.
Me too.
I'm mostly
stuff looking is forward finally to... getting good. So good.
I'm mostly looking forward to Lauren meeting Starjammers.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. All right, everyone. Well, that is it for us today. You can follow us on Instagram at UncannyKurz, Twitter at Kurz Podcast. You can send us an email at UncannyKurzPodcast@gmail.com and consider supporting the show on Patreon, patreon.com/UncannyKurz. And we will see you all next time.
Bye.